Stop 15. Curator Janice Lee introduces the film Permissible Beauty.
Hello, it's Janice, the curator of the exhibition, again here. This is an introduction to the first work in this third section of the exhibition, a film called Permissible Beauty, which is being shown in a cinema-like space to the right of this stop. The film is around 22 minutes long and will be shown every half hour. The first part of this stop will give an overview of the space and access resources available, and the second part will give an audio-described introduction to the film with visual descriptions of the setting and all performers. This stop is located at the entrance of the cinema space. If you follow the wall on the left-hand side, you'll reach two large sofas with handrails at the back. There is also more soft seating and beanbags along the walls and on the floor further into the space. After you finish watching the film, you can return to the tactile line by the entrance to the cinema space and then follow it to the next work and stop in this series. Live audio description of the film is available on wireless headphones, which you can find hanging on the wall to your left, just inside the entrance to the space. These are also indicated by a white AD label on the wall. The film features the voices, portraits, and creative talents of six performers from the Black British queer community against the backdrop of the Windsor Beauties in Hampton Court Palace. What follows now is an audio-described introduction to the film and the performers. Filmed predominantly at Hampton Court Palace, as well as Kenwood House and Petworth House, six queer Black Britons traverse the landscaped gardens and wood panel corridors of these historic sites. They visit an art collection from the 17th century that includes a series of portrait paintings called the Windsor Beauties. Each painting depicts a glamorous lady from the court of King Charles II. Their off-the-shoulder gowns show off their ample bosoms and voluptuous figures, and folds of silk and loose ropes suggest classical antiquity. Their gazes are provocative and faintly erotic. The cast, a mixture of performers, dancers, activists, and drag artists, take it in turns to explore Hampton Court Palace, treading the ancient floorboards and marble staircases like a private catwalk runway. The film weaves a tapestry of narration, song, photography, and performance, all the while captured by renowned photographer Robert Taylor. Robert is a Black British man in his 60s. He's bald with dark brown skin and distinctive orange vary focal glasses. He guides and instructs the performers from behind his camera with much animation. David McAlmont, a Black man of Guyanese and Nigerian origins, both opens and closes the film in attire reminiscent of a 17th century bard. His long white tunic is enveloped in a black robe with pendulous billowy sleeves, and his riding boots reach his calves. He's in his 50s, with a burnt sienna complexion and a clean-shaven head. He's followed by Carnage Kills, who is a proudly femme performer. His main look is an all-white affair. Wide-legged, translucent trousers reveal his dark brown skin beneath, and a crop top with ruffled, shaggy sleeves ends just above his toned midriff. His shoulder-length hair is parted in the middle and has a defined curl pattern of a twist-out. Son of a Tutu analyzes the Windsor Beauties with Ebony Rose in the opulent interior of the Communication Gallery at Hampton Court Palace. As they touch up their bright jewel-tone makeup, they take in the gilded paintings. A black gem adorns the middle of Son of a Tutu's forehead, and a patterned African head wrap contains her black and brown twisted braids which spill out of the top. An orange beaded choker with a sparkling pearly brooch at its center encircles her neck. Her drag makeup consists of white painted eyebrows and purple glittery lips. She's of Black British Nigerian descent, and her studded black corset cinches in her waist over a heavily patterned skirt of the same cloth as her headscarf. Ebony Rose Dog has her signature rose clipped into the top left corner of her thick, tight curled black hair. The rose matches her bright red lipstick, pleated cape, and glittery platform heels. This VIP, or visually impaired cabaret performance artist, strikes a tall figure in sequined full-length dress of midnight blue. She's in her 30s, and her dark brown complexion is attenuated with red blusher and blue eyeshadow. Born in South America and raised in Britain, Wynn is a trailblazing cover girl with high cheekbones and a mahogany complexion. Wynn has a copious copper-brown afro and appears devastatingly fabulous in a leopard print bra and furry black stole draped about Wynn's shoulders. A tiered black tulle skirt reaches the floor and yellow heels peek out of his folds. At times, Wynn struts in unison with their fellow cast member, British Tanzanian Julius Rubin. Model and fashionista, Julius is in his 40s and sports a short afro. His angular face and high bone structure are striking, and his dark brown skin shimmers beneath a bejeweled crown. A solid choker covers his neck like armor, and when he graces us with a smile, there's a gap between his front teeth. This regal look is completed with a shiny patterned jacket with gold and copper accents. Swathed in layered red ruffles and bolts that cascade to the floor, Le Gâteau Chocolat's dress matches their shiny red gloves that stop just before their elbows. His red painted lips contrast with his graying beard and long eyelashes curled up from soulful saucer eyes. His thick black wig has a boxy shape with a blunt fringe. Gâteau is in his 40s and black British African. He wanders about the palace's grounds, escaping down the high hedge paths of maize and brushing past blossom. These British beauties exude cool, relaxed confidence in the presence of the Royal Collection paintings and sumptuous architecture.
End of stop 15. The next track is stop 16. Curator Janice Lee introduces the installation Almost All of My Dead Mother's Beautiful Things by the artist Narcissista.